Welcome to Dare to Innovate. Today I have Scott Gilbert. So Scott, thank you for joining me again. And for the first time, we have Nicola Whiting. So Scott Gilbert, as all of you know, is our CEO. And Nicola Whiting is our general manager of one of our business units based out of Edinburgh, and specifically an expert in mobility. And today we're going to be focusing on the importance of prioritizing employee experience or end user experience when it comes to mobility devices, whether that be a new employee or, you know, existing employee, and how do we support that. So thank you for joining us here on Dare to Innovate, and let's dive in. So Nicola, I'm going to start with the first question to you. When you think about employee experience or end user experience, when it comes to mobility, where does it really start for you? How do you think about that, and how should organizations best think about that?
I think there's probably two key areas. The first one is having recognized policies so that each employee actually understands the boundary of that organization's mobile policy, whether they are corporately owned or bring your own device, if they have specific device choices. So I think setting very clear expectations for the end user from the get-go, I think it's really important. And then the second thing is about enabling the employee to self-serve. So enabling them to go on, select the device that they want within the bounds of that specific organisation's policy, to take themselves on a journey from end to end. So device selection, plan selection through to device in hand. And giving them that single event in life, a bit like a shopping cart experience where they could go to Amazon and buy something. Same idea would be that they could come through that organization and buy the corporate device of their choice.
Scott, anything to add there?
When we talk about the user experience, the employee experience, no business leader should underestimate the value of it, the impact of it. Employees very much want a smooth experience, whether that's when they're first joining or whether that's as they're an employee and something breaks or something changes. Those experiences are very, very real, and they have an impact on whether that employee stays at the company, whether that employee refers other people to that organization. So even though we're talking about it from an employee perspective right now, the employer needs to take this topic very seriously. It does make a difference in the recruiting. And the first time an employee comes on board and it takes 2 weeks for them to get their cell phone, and they go out and they post on Glassdoor, hey, it was a great company, but I couldn't do any of my work. So I would say that while we're thinking about it from an employee perspective, I would encourage the employers to take this very seriously as well.
So Scott, that's an interesting point. Do we feel that's exacerbated now, given, you know, the, you know, at least in the United States, but, you know, really globally, we're seeing a very employee-friendly job market, in which we've had lots of moves across organizations. Is that exacerbated now, or is that something that we've always seen?
I think we've seen it historically for a while. Certainly in larger companies, it becomes a bigger and bigger topic for the employee. I think what it's getting magnified now is that as the labor market continues to be very competitive and what we'll say employee friendly, employers need to find additional ways to differentiate themselves from someone else who's trying to recruit that same employee. Wages can only go so high, benefits can only go so rich. At some point, there's these other things, and employee experience is a big one to differentiate on.
Scott, I would probably add to that and say that also part of that employee experience is enabling people to work remotely. So there's been a big cultural shift for a lot of organisations where they are enabling flexible working, they're enabling work from home, they're enabling a combination of those two things. And mobility and all the things that go with that play a massive part in enabling that end user's experience to be different to turning up in an office every day. It's put a very big tilt on enabling that end user to be anywhere and still be productive and still be successful in the role that they've been given as well. So it's also about letting flexible work models work across that company's policy as well.
So that's a very interesting topic when we think about, you know, as we went through the pandemic and everybody went remote, now you have, you know, hybrid, fully remote, things like that. You know, one of the things when we think about employee experience, when you used to show up at an office and you start a new job, you got your laptop, you got your cell phone, you know, you had IT right there to help you get set up. You sat in a conference room for a while and got training. Now we're into an environment where we have, and many organizations have, employees all over the place. Does, in terms of mobility, and we think about getting a device to that end user, what are the things, Nicola, that are very important from an experience perspective to be able to do that? Because, you know, you want to be able to have the phone, you want it to work. How do you ensure that?
Some of that will come down to the technology that the customer chooses to use. Some of it will come down to their policies. So what we see a lot of employers doing is actually preemptively ordering devices for users in advance so that those are actually delivered as part of their laptop arriving. Everything arrives as a single kind of kitted environment. Some of it is the employee gets the choice when they arrive. So I think it does vary from organisation to organisation. We see customers leveraging more and more bring your own device opportunities where they actually let the user leverage the technology that they already have today. So we're definitely seeing more of a shift in the marketplace to people looking at the opportunity to reduce their corporately owned footprint by letting people get online faster with devices that they already have as well.
Anything to add, Scott?
I think she's spot on. The speed to getting an employee productive is critical, and if that means having the tools to be able to use their own devices, I mean, that's great. It's the importance of you know, MDM applications, it becomes greater and greater in that sense, in terms of the ability to integrate with that device, whether it's a brand new device or whether that's a BYOD, having some sort of automated tool, especially in the context of remote work, right? The last thing you want is that new employee spending 3 hours on the phone with tech support on the other side, walking them through every setting and setting up a VPN manually on the phone and putting policies. You want automation in that. And in order to do that, you've got to put, to Nicola's point, the right software applications and systems in place.
So we've talked a lot about kind of new employee experience, but we're not just, you know, we're not just, I just don't want to discuss just a new employee experience, because this is an ever-ending solution. You know, there's device changes. We're going to have a new Apple device come out here in the next, you know, 30 to 60 days, in which there'll be a clamoring to get that device. There are new Samsung devices and new devices that release all the time, as well as, you know, moves and changes and things like that. So when we think about giving not just the new employee experience a great experience in terms of that device working on day zero or day one of them joining, how do you continue to manage the employee experience throughout it and give them options? So, you know, Nicola, I'd love to hear a little bit about that from you.
Again, for me, it comes down to giving the employee the ability to self-serve. So to know things like, when am I upgrade eligible? When am I due to get my next device? And having that easily accessible to them to let them make those choices, to let them know if they have poor service with one carrier, can they move to another carrier, and making that an experience that they can figure out for themselves rather than they have to call into IT and ask them a bunch of questions. It should be very accessible and it should be very transparent to that user. I think the other thing is that what we've seen across the customer base is more and more employers are thinking about what type of technology they should give to their staff as well. So it isn't necessarily that they're just getting a phone now. It's should they get a phone and an iPad, or do they even need the phone if they've got an iPad, or is some sort of other technology more appropriate to that user's experience? So we're definitely starting to see a change in the types of devices and the models of devices that employers are willing to offer. And if anything, we've gone from seeing people sitting at like an N-2, so two back from most current model, Actually, a lot of people are moving themselves to either current model, or they're moving themselves to like one back from current model. I would say some of that's been driven by the pandemic and availability of mobility devices globally has driven transformation and choice that they give users as well.
One of the things that we kind of talked about there at the beginning of yours, Nicola, that I find very interesting, and Scott, I'd love to get your opinion on this, is you talked about self-service. And self-service is obviously an interesting topic, but in the current workforce today, we have a wide variety of generations that sit into that, and self-service means something different to each of them. Scott, what are some of the trends or some of the ideas that we have around self-service? When you think about serving a younger population and the way that they want to access, as opposed to an older population that may want to be served in a different way. What are the different ways that they should be served and giving them self-service? Because self-service means something different to everybody. Personally, I am never going to call in if I don't have to. I never want to speak to anybody. If I can chat, if I can go online, if I can go on and order it and never have to talk to another human being while I'm doing three other things, I would rather do that. But I know some people also just want to call in. So what are your thoughts on that, Scott?
And to be fair, not many people want to talk to you. So I think that actually works out quite well. I think first, the self-service piece is important, and I'll tie it back to actually Nicholas' first comment, which is well-documented policies. So the first thing, whether or not you are having someone call in or use a portal or send an email, having access to the policy is to know exactly what they're eligible for, not eligible for, is going to reduce the amount of overhead associated with these types of requests. But then when it comes to actually how do you serve those requests, the reality is it has to be a hybrid. You're not going to force every single employee in a 10,000 or 20,000 person organization to use a single portal when their phone breaks, right? Some of them are going to want to call in and say, "Hey, my phone broke. What do I do with it?" Others, to your point, are going to want to just go into a portal, type in an information, and wait for their new phone to show up. So I think it would be foolish to think that you're going to be able to have a single channel. I think what you can do is say there are channels that most people are used to using today. And there's three of them. One is making a phone call, two is logging into a portal, and three is doing chat or instant messaging. And if you can offer your employees those three sort of channels to get help, to get assistance for their mobility, I think you got your bases covered.
Nicole, anything, any other thoughts on that topic?
No, I think like overall, I don't think anybody should underestimate how emotive the topic of mobility is. It's something people get hugely emotional about. Like, so when it doesn't go well, it's very there's a very emotional reaction to it not going well. So, that experience is so important to know that I'm going to go here and get help, or I'm going to go here and I'm going to order this thing. And then I'm going to be told regularly what's happening with the thing and when I'm going to get the thing. Like those communication, that constant flurry of communication is so important to ensuring that end user feels, and it is a feeling, it's like at that genuine, I feel quite emotional about this. I feel that I'm being served and I feel like I'm getting all of the things that I expect because I'm very emotional about the thing that I'm waiting on. And I don't think anybody should underestimate just how an emotional topic a mobile phone is. And I think that's one of the reasons when we think about servicing customers, we shouldn't just think about SLAs. We need to think about XLAs, so experience levels as well. We shouldn't just think about, did the phone get shipped on time? We should think about, well, what was that user's experience as they went through that procurement journey or they went through that support journey, because that's actually a bigger telling story than did we or did the vendor ship it within 2 working hours. Like maybe that improves the experience, but if the employee got no information about it being shipped and no information about what was coming, but equally they've just had a bad experience. I think that's massive.
XLAs are an interesting XLA SLAs are you know a very interesting topic. You know, in general, when we think about SLAs, they're very measurable. There's no feel associated with an SLA. It's hey, it was, you have a service level, whether it be the services that we're providing, other people in the industry are providing, or a carrier or a device manufacturer is providing. They're measurable. It happened or it didn't happen, and it's measurable across that. An XLA always feels very touchy-feely to me. And so, how as an organization, one, do you separate it? Everybody wants SLAs, that things are happening. But how do you measure an XLA? How do you look at that and say, how am I measuring an end user experience? Scott, open it up to you first, and then we'll get Nicola's opinion.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you have to clearly identify the expectation. The expectation of how the process should work. So what is it that how much effort should I have to put into in order for this request to go in, right? And then how often should I get updates or status information on it. So I think the key to measuring or even being able to quantify an XLA is to set and identify what the expectation is. So if, for example, an employee wants to order a new phone, and they have in their mind an expectation that they should have to do three clicks and five fields of information, and there is no way a phone can get ordered on three clicks, and then it doesn't matter what your SLA is, your XLA is going to suck because the expectation was not aligned correctly. So I think the first critical piece of it is identifying and documenting an appropriate set of expectations and then driving toward that. And the measurement ultimately comes down to like a pretty simple, NPS score at the end, right? Where after everything's done, the employee said, hey, it's a one, it's a five, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think you can combine that with, I think you can combine it with other aspects. So not just the NPS piece, but did they find the actual experience of placing the request in the first place simple enough? Because maybe that piece was actually really good. The piece that was really bad was actually how long it took to get the physical device in their hands. So being able to delineate between the experience of how I went about getting the thing. And what my experience of getting it eventually was, like creating that natural separation is like really important. And then I think the other thing, the experience is driven by expectation of timeliness. So you talk about the I expect to click three times, but actually people often have very unrealistic expectations of how long it's actually going to take to get a device in hand. So people think, well, I could walk into a store today and walk out with a device. In the corporate world, that's obviously very different. So it's also about setting those expectations. So when we think about those regular updates and the communication points that you send out as part of that journey, it's really important to continue to enforce the expectation of time, because that's actually the thing that people often get most frustrated about is the journey, the length of the journey, not necessarily the journey itself.
Yeah. And there's times when, right, there are definitely times when you see an organization that is falling down on what we'll say is the strict SLA. That look, yeah, it took 4 weeks to get my phone. That's unreasonable, right? On the other hand, getting it in one day is not reasonable either. So, there's that spectrum of giving the appropriate expectation up front, which is going to impact the employee's experience.
Yeah, and I think, sorry, Andrew, I don't want to forget this. I think the other thing we need to do, be really think about is the fact that the experience as you move around the globe becomes very different. So the experience that you may see in the United States versus the experience you may see in Germany or France or Sweden or Poland will be very, very different. And one of the things we see customers actively striving for is to make the experience the same irrelevant of geography. So it's also about thinking about either we enhance communication styles to make sure we set clear expectations that in France it's going to take 10 days to get a device versus United Kingdom that'll take 6 days. So have your communication straight, but also just acknowledge the fact that as you move around the world, the experience becomes very, very different.
One of the things Scott had said is, you know, you need to clearly document and, you know, understand what the experience should be and what the expectation should be. And Nicola, you talked a lot about communication in communicating that. What are the, you know, and those, you know, we kind of had the three pillars. You got to understand what you have, you need to document, and you need to communicate it. But when you're dealing with massive organizations that are globally distributed, that have new employees coming in and employees leaving, how do you most effectively communicate? Because it's not like you can communicate up front and tell everybody and train everybody it's going to take 5 days or this. What are the paths in terms of communication that will set the proper expectation as you're going into the process? Right. Nicola, I'll let you start.
I think having like a centralized place to do it, I think having one place to go that clearly sets out expectations as you actually pick the device you want for the very first time, it will give you preemptive statements like, this will take 5 days to be delivered. Like, so like actually having a single user experience that sets those expectations from the get-go is an observation. And I would describe myself as this person. I probably won't read any of the information on the screen anyway. I'll click the buttons. I'll get frustrated with, like, the thing didn't arrive 30 seconds after I ordered it. So I think we probably need to acknowledge that there's definitely, whether it's generational or it's a personality thing, I'm not sure, Andrew. There's definitely a set of people out there that no matter how clear you try to be in expectation setting, they're going to click the button anyway, and they're going to be frustrated one way or the other. So it's also acknowledging the fact that everybody's capacity is different. Like, everybody learns differently, everybody behaves differently, and that affects. And it's trying to cater for everybody. Acknowledge, make the journey easy, make it simple, set expectations along the way, but acknowledge that not everybody's going to read the emails, not everybody's going to read the communication. They're just going to give it a go and see what happens.
I am glad we have recorded Nicola stating that she has unrealistic expectations, and we have this for future reference if ever necessary to hark back upon it. So as we close off on this topic, and thank you guys so much for joining me today, you know, any final, you know, thoughts when you think about this in the context of innovation, and we're recommending you know, things out to not only our clients, but, you know, the general industry. Scott, I'll start with you. You know, what are the one to two things that you think of when it comes to, you know, prioritizing employee experience?
Yeah, I guess I'll end with the same comment I started with, which is the comment to the employers, to the leaders out there, which is, do not underestimate the value and impact of the experience the employee has when it comes to their devices, whether that's a mobile device, laptop, iPad, whatever it is. Don't underestimate how important that experience is to existing employees and prospective employees.
Nicola?
I think the big thing for me is to continue to look at the experience that you give your users. The world is changing constantly. And to build flexibility into your model. So, for example, don't just be a corporately liable house. Be something in the middle. Be something that gives your employees flexibility to bring their own device if they choose, or to get one from the corporate environment. Give flexibility and continually assess whether that flexibility is meeting the market, because it is constantly changing.
Awesome. Well, Nicola, thank you for joining us for the first time. Scott, I appreciate you joining me again. And for those of you listening, thank you for joining Dare to Innovate.
Stay on top of the conversation. Like and subscribe to our channel to get notified when our newest episodes release. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Dare to Innovate.